Manuscript Releases, Volume 10. Mr. Number 834. Counsels Involving W. W. Prescott and His Work, Audio. Possibilities of Discouragement in 1905. Ellen White, in vision, saw Elder Prescott with some others in a meeting where discouraging aspects of the work were dwelt upon and possibilities of a discouraging nature were presented. Manuscript 115, 1905. A heavenly messenger stood before those present and admonished, "You are to serve God more perfectly. I have not found thy ways perfect before God. There is need of trustful, unwavering faith and joy in the Lord." Ibid. Perils pointed out about this time, or a little later, Ellen White wrote of a scene in which Elders Prescott and Daniels were conversing with Dr. Kellogg, listening to subtle reasoning prompted by the evil angels close by. Both Prescott and Daniels seemed confused concerning Ellen White's work, considering it a mystery. She described what to her seemed a life-and-death struggle on the part of the two men. Kellogg, in subtle reasoning, almost overwhelmed them. Then, through the agency of a heavenly messenger, the thought came to the men to review the past experiences of the people of God, review the history of the work from the first, and the question was asked, "Has this work been what it has been represented to you to be?" Then the heavenly messenger caused to pass before them, scene after scene, until they saw truth bearing the signature of the heavenly in the past, then present, and still more decidedly in the future. Letter 100, 1911, no doubt written earlier, but with 1911 the copying date. On May 22, 1908, while Prescott was still editor of the Review and Herald, Ellen White addressed him, sounding a warning, "At times, Elder Prescott, you have come very near making shipwreck of your faith. Only the grace of God and the confidence you have had in the messages he has sent through the spirit of prophecy have held you back. I was shown that although you have had many years of experience in the cause of God, you are still in danger of making grave mistakes. You are inclined to catch hold of some minor matter which you consider important, and place great weight upon it. At such times Satan is waiting and watching for an opportunity to influence your mind, and through you to work upon many other minds, leading them to questioning and doubt. The Lord has not called you to such a work as this. Upon some questions, silence will reveal a spirit of wisdom and discretion." Letter 166, 1908. And then Ellen White warns and counsels, "Satan is working with all his ingenuity to sidetrack souls. What shall we do? Let us believe that the Lord is willing to raise up and strengthen the weak. You will find your greatest strength in dwelling upon that which is spiritual. Let sanctification of the truth of the Word of God be revealed in your life. Let this agency refine and ennoble the soul. The Lord would have his ministering servants walk humbly before him. Take my yoke upon you," he invites, "and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Ibid. A few days later she addressed another message to Elder Prescott in which she made mention of his involvement in pressing his views on the question of the daily, of Daniel chapter 8. She cautioned, "You have many times escaped from the snare of the enemy, but you are not beyond the danger of making mistakes. You sometimes allow your mind to center upon a certain train of thought, and you are in danger of making a mountain out of a molehill. Brother Prescott, there has been a serious weakness in your work of ministry. I write this to caution you." Letter 224, 1908. Crisis in shifting from Review editor to City Evangelism. While at the General Conference session of 1909, Ellen White was carrying a heavy burden for the spiritual experience and growth of men in leading positions, and particularly Elder Prescott, the editor of the Review and Herald. She wrote on June 3rd, first in general terms and then more specifically, "The Lord is not pleased with the spiritual advancement that Elder Prescott has made. He is not where the Lord would have him be. He would be the recipient of much greater spiritual strength if he were much of the time out in the field seeking to lead souls to the light of truth. Brother Prescott, your ministerial ability is needed in the work that God requires shall be done in our cities. I am instructed to say to you that you are needed in the fields that are opening for evangelistic work. When you make the Lord your trust, and give to the people the message of truth, wonderful reformations will be seen." Manuscript 41, 1909. It is clearly evident that Ellen White's message had a double thrust, Elder Prescott's spiritual welfare, and then the demands of city evangelism. It was somewhat in a similar way, in an effort to save Elder A. T. Jones, a member of the General Conference Committee who was under Dr. Kellogg's influence, Ellen White, in early 1905, urged that he be called away from Battle Creek to evangelism in the city of Washington. In working to save others, he would be saved. A few days after the close of the General Conference session, Ellen White, meeting with the General Conference Committee, urged that Elder Prescott should not remain in Washington to do a work another man could do. "He can stand before the people," she declared, "and give the reasons of our faith in an acceptable manner. I know this, because I have been associated with him in Australia in labor." Manuscript 53, 1909. "His gift is not to be used longer as it is now, for if he continues to labor here, his health and strength will be used up. But if he will go out into the public ministry, strength will come to him." Ibid. Elder G. A. Irwin, General Conference Vice President, asked, "In all that you have said concerning the work of Elder Prescott, do you mean that he is to continue as editor of the paper, and also to go out and preach in the cities occasionally?" Ellen White's answer sent a shiver through the committee. It was firm and spoken under conviction and based on light God had given her. "No, no. He must give himself up to the work of the ministry. His strength should not be divided. He is to give himself to the evangelistic work." Manuscript 53, 1909. A few days later she wrote to her son Edson, "Some did not take willingly to the idea of losing Brother Prescott, but I spoke plainly to them." Letter 98, 1909. A desire to correct denominational books. Then in August, 1910, another communication in which Prescott was named was addressed to the president of the General Conference, which in part read, "For several months I have been instructed of the Lord that a decided change must be made from this time onward in the carrying forward of our work. Message after message has come to me from the Lord concerning the dangers surrounding you and Elder Prescott. I have seen that Satan would have been greatly pleased to see Elders Prescott and Daniels undertake the work of a general overhauling of our books that have done a good work in the field for years. But neither of you is called of God to that work. Elder Prescott and others united with you have been inclined to search out things to be criticized or condemned in our printed publications. Were encouragement given you, changes and revisions would be made in accordance with the ideas that you have in mind. But you must never forget that Satan, disguised as an angel of light, is always ready to encourage anything that would lead to a loss of confidence in our denominational literature. It is not safe to set some minds running in such channels of thought, as this would lead to a harvest of doubt and unbelief. I know whereof I speak, for the Lord has opened this matter before me." Letter 70, 1910. In this same letter, Ellen White advised that the two men not work together. She wrote, "In some respects, you and Brother Prescott have done a strange work. It is not for the best interests that either one of you be associated together so closely as heretofore. You both need the sanctification of the Holy Spirit of God." Ibid. Before bringing the letter to a close, the messenger of the Lord was to write, "The enemy of truth, through the ministry of fallen angels, would be pleased to introduce uncertainty in the minds of many in regard to the doctrines that have been established by the sanction of the Holy Spirit. Disguised as one who has a deep understanding of truth, Satan will seek to point out supposed errors in that which needs no revision, and it will take much time and patient labor to restore confidence in those whose minds are unsettled by unnecessary changes. God forbids his servants to alter that which needs no change." Ibid.